When we hear about the word stewardship, what is your first impression in your mind? Especially when we hear the word stewardship in the church environment, in the church context, what comes up in your mind?
Offerings,
envelopes, money. Actually, today, Jesus told a parable to his disciples, but the parable he uses talks about stewardship, talks about money, but it's not all about money. So let's take a deep look about what stewardship really is. In fact, during Jesus' many, many teachings, how to use money wisely, how to deal with money, what is the relationship between money, he talks a lot about it because it plays an important role in our daily life. But who did Jesus teach in today's context? We can find at the beginning of today's gospel, Jesus said to the disciples. So it is to his disciples, to those who already believed him, those who already decide to follow him. Jesus was not teaching to an ordinary crowd outside the church. But Jesus taught inside the church. We are at the 16th chapter of St. Luke. By now, it is probably the last stage of Jesus' earthly life before he went down to the cross. So at that time, rumors were flying all around. On one hand, there were so many good sayings circulated about Jesus. On the other hand, the jealousy and bad things from the religious leader that mounts to the pressure. So the disciples actually, they were facing tremendous pressure along with Jesus. So bear this in mind. Today's gospel, Jesus talks about money, but he points to the faithfulness. In the story, Jesus said, there was a rich man who had a manager. Well, this man was really rich. And the charges were brought to him that his manager was squandering his property. We don't know whether this manager neglected or is it because his limitation of his ability, or he intentionally stole money from his master. The Bible doesn't tell us about that. It is only that the man's squandering of his master's property and his master summoned the manager and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. So before his personal meeting with this particular manager. The master's mind was already made. He's going to fire him. And what happened during that meeting? Well, I would say at least there would be some uncomfortable feeling involved. However, this manager's concern and his focus, he didn't even apologize for what had happened. He was not thinking of how to reduce the damage to the master. All his focus was about himself. He was thinking everything about me, me, me. If I lost this job, what would I do? Where can I get my next paycheck? So this manager, he thought, what will I do? I must think of something. The master officially fired his manager, but he needs time to give an accounting and deliver things right. You can imagine, even so, there were red flags all over the map, and this manager, he was doing something, I would say, really, really bold, because he was under surveillance. But he called up those people, the debtors who owe money to his master, and he wiped off some of the debts. What was he thinking? Maybe in his mind, he would say to himself, okay, maybe those people can say, oh, you are a nice person. So after I'm done here, some of them, they could hire me. And then I will have my second job. Let me ask you one question. If you were those people, you have witnessed what he has done to his master, will you think to hire this person either to help your family or hire him to your company? Will you do that? Oh, you are very wise. I think in our daily life, not a lot of people are just like you. You are all very smart, all very wise. Actually, what happened in this parable is not too far away. It happens daily in our life. I was a real estate agent. During one of our training sessions, our broker taught us, when you try to get a listing, try to get a contract to help the seller to sell the house, there will be one question will always be asked. What is your commission? How do you charge? Whatever answer you bring up, the answer will always be the same. It's too expensive. Can you charge less? There will always someone, there will be always someone who charge less. Then our broker taught us, guard your heart. If you work only for your commission, for your paycheck. You might sacrifice your commission in order to allure to get the listing contract. However, if your commission is your money, you are not able to negotiate to guard your money, which is less, far more less than the amount of the house. How can the seller entrust you with the seller's money, with far more amount of money? Well, is it the same logic? But I tell you, a lot of people, they don't have the kind of wisdom you have. What Jesus did, he was not teaching his salespersons in a real estate brokerage. What Jesus did was talking about faithfulness. Who is your master? In real estate selling and purchasing, if the salesperson works only for his paycheck, for his commission, it is obvious. Do you think the seller knows? Do you think the buyer knows? Even that person cut his commission. Yes, of course they know. Just like this master. Oftentimes, I heard about comments, something like, I would go and knock the teeth off the seller and just bring the price down so I can make a deal and get my paycheck. All the effort called out from your heart. It's not about the scriptures you read, whether you are doing the door knocking or cold calling. People can see it. People can smell it. People can tell if you are working for your own interest or you are working for the benefit of your master. One interesting thing in this story is that the master was fully aware of what's happening. And he made interesting comments to this shrewd manager. And of course, we do not know the tune of the master's saying. Maybe it's full of sarcasm, sarcastic, or maybe he thinks he's having really good humor. But the master tells everyone that he said this manager was shrewd because he had acted shrewdly. The next comment is also very interesting. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. Who are the children of light? When Jesus taught this parable, his disciples, even though they were facing the great challenge, the real pressure, they have to ponder, who is their master? They profess Jesus is the Son of God, is their master. But when the rubber meets the earth, when the heat is on? Are they trying to do something for their own so that they can avoid the damage, so that they can manage their way? Even today, we as the Christians, we need to ponder ourselves the same question. Who are we serving? Who is our master? Are we serving God? Are we serving ourselves? You might say, well, the church is a non-charitable organization. We are all volunteers here. Who am I serving? You tell me. Of course I'm serving the Lord. But you know what? If we are trying to serve God, we are trying to serve people. We share the gospel to people. We hope when they meet the Lord, their lives can be changed. Their lives can be transformed. It's for the benefit of them, and God's kingdom can increase. Then we are serving God. But if we are inviting people in, hoping they can pay our bills, electricity, and the maintenance, water, whatever, guess what? People can see it. People can smell it. People can feel it. Who is our master? Who is the master of this ministry? Are we trying to develop it as our personal career, as if we own this ministry? Or are we trying to serve God? This is a harsh message. On Sunday, Jesus went into Jerusalem with his disciples. People were shouting. By Friday, Jesus will be crucified. Do we trust the way we work by ourselves? We try to manage it. Or do we trust our master is God? He knows everything, and he is able to take care of everything. It is written, a worker shall get his paycheck. A worker shall get his wage. But our master, the Lord, he rewards us on top of our wage. But it is to us, to me, I examine myself. Shall we share the gospel, bringing the people into our church for any other reason? As a steward, what are we managing in this life? I tell you, it's not only about money. It's our time, our calendar, our money, indeed, our paycheck, our checkbooks, and also our talents, our whole being, even our family. There will be someday we need to give an account to our master. But before that, in this earthly time, our hearts, our deeds can be seen. In today's gospel, it is called unrighteous steward. But what are we? I hope God help us. We can be faithful to God, only to Him, because He is our source. He is our provider. He is our protector. If we are trying to manage our own way, own saying, it doesn't work. But if we are faithful, which means we are full of faith to God, indeed, He will provide. May God help us. Amen.